something about...
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
Something happens when we call on that name, the name of Jesus. I bring you greetings from Shepherd's Way Christian Church. My name is Robert O'Neill, and so glad to be here with all of you this morning. I'm joined by my lovely wife, Rashida. If you just wave her hand. Amen. Thank God for her. Amen. You are containing, watching over my two children in the back. I appreciate that. Amanda and Peyton, and we're just so glad to be here today. Josh is a dear friend of mine. He is my big brother from another mother. And Josh and I met in 2011 during a time when our church was going through a very rough transition of our pastor dying. And Josh stepped in as a great friend and brother and mentored me. And we spent many weeks together for 3 years just discussing the word, going over doctrine, and I found him to be just a wonderful friend. And so I'm so glad for Josh and Lydia today. Can we celebrate new life? Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good, and I'm so glad for this added blessing. God has blessed them, and I'm so grateful. Man, I have a word, and I want to get right to it. If you'll join with me in the book 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you have your copy of God's word, navigate with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to lift up one verse, but I will preach from verses 1 to verse 13 from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 3 from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then I will breathe a word of prayer and we will begin. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you have 2 Timothy chapter 2, please say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, preacher, please wait. I heard you. I'm waiting. Thank you, sir. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll just lift up verse 3, but I will preach from verses 1 through 13. Verse 3 says this, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? I'll read it one more time. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This morning, my subject is, this won't be easy. This won't be easy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment that we've come to, the preaching moment. Father, we ask, Lord, for your anointing and your wisdom and your guidance and the comfort of the Holy Spirit as we dig in this text, Lord, talking about that this won't be easy. Thank you for your blessedness in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This will not be easy. My grandfather in his office for many years kept a statue of a man, two men that were in a battle. And the two men that were in the battle, the statue portrayed the end of the battle, that there was one man standing with a club in his hand, victorious, and another man who was lying on the ground. And on the description of this statue, it would say, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. That was my grandfather's motto. He said that from before I was born, he was saying, and he said it till the day he died. I thought he had coined that phrase, but he said it so much it was ingrained into our congregation that a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. It helps us understand that there is the possibility of winning. There is winning as you continue on, but for sure there will be no victory if you quit, if you give up. He, in that statue, it helped me to understand that you and I will face many battles and obstacles in life. And that we sometimes or come to the place in life we want to back up or fall away or just give up or say it's not worth it, whether it's in your own family and your own four walls, whether it's a job, maybe it's an illness you're dealing with, whatever the case may be, I want to let you know that from the Word of God today that this, what you're going through, is not going to be easy. Challenges are popping up, and even maybe you've just given your life to Jesus and you started facing those obstacles, and things now have become real to you about that. There's, as Christians, we are in a real battle every day. And so now it's really coming home now, and you're saying, man, I wasn't expecting all of this. I just want to let you know today that it won't be easy. Being a Christian is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for weak people. Being a Christian has to have, you have to have a made up mind and say, you know what, I'm going to do this for Jesus and I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what the cost is. Many of our brothers and sisters in other lands understand that a little better than we here in America, that even this Christian walk will not be easy. I want to look at this text, this passage of Timothy, 2 Timothy, which was written by Paul. Not your cousin Paul, but the apostle Paul. Paul, who was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, born out of due time, he says, Paul has a son in the faith named Timothy. And Timothy and Paul have been working together, and Paul now is in a Roman jail. He's sitting in jail, and he is not going to be released. And as a good father would with his son, a good father would give instructions to his son, especially his last instructions if he has that opportunity. So Paul writes two letters. He writes one, 1 Timothy, which is a formal letter. And he writes 2 Timothy, which is an informal letter. 1 Timothy talks about how to establish the church and how to have elders and to build up the church. And then 2 Timothy, he gets down to some nuts and bolts about ministry and his life. And he ends in chapter 2 here, and he's getting ready to talk to his son in the faith, Timothy, about enduring hardness as a good soldier. It's in 2 Timothy that we find what I call the funeral passage, where Paul says to his son, he says, "For I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." You see, Paul knows that he is going to die. He knows that this journey he's been on is coming to an end. And he now needs to encourage his son in the faith that as I am leaving from the scene of ministry, son, you've got to continue on. But I want you to know one important truth. As I leave and you continue, is that this will not be easy. Let's look at several things today as we examine the passage all the way from verses 1 to verse 13 as quickly as I possibly can. He says to his son in the faith, since son, this is not going to be easy. He said, here's the first thing I want you to know. He says, that's why we must enlist good soldiers. We must enlist good soldiers. It's in verse 2, if you look with me. He says in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says to his son in the faith, son, you got to commit the word of God to reliable people, and not only reliable people, but teachable people. He said, it's very important that you connect yourself with people who, first of all, are reliable. They have faithfulness to God. Not only to God, but they are faithful to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, you can't do this on your own. A Christian walk is never designed to be walked on your own. You have to live it out hand in hand with your brother and your sister in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? It's with reliable people, he says. Enlist good soldiers. They're reliable. But enlist good soldiers who are teachable. He says, commit these to who will be able to teach others also. To be teachable, he says, it means we must be disciples. And we are also discipling others. That's always a good question. Are you and I disciples of Christ, meaning followers of him? And secondly, are we discipling others? Are we taking the time to show someone else the way and the walk of Jesus Christ? He said it's very important, son, in the faith, you must enlist good soldiers. I'll move on quickly to point number 2. He said, not only do we enlist good soldiers, he said, son, but I want you to know of the expectations of good soldiers. It's verses 3 through verse 6. He points out to them the expectations of good soldiers. He said, son, know this about good soldiers, that a good soldier is always, listen, aware of danger. Look at verse 3. He says it very clearly. You must therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is nothing easy about being a Christian. He says there's going to be trials and tribulations. As a matter of fact, those who live godly shall suffer persecution, church. That's just a part of the Christian walk, he says to us. Every soldier, every Christian must realize that we are in danger. That as we live, church, you and I, as we say yes to Jesus, sometimes it may cost you your very life. He says a good soldier is aware of danger, but secondly, a good soldier is always on duty. Look at verse 4. I want you to see it. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He says very plainly, church, that at no point in time are you to pull off your armor. At no point in time are you going to you're off duty. You're no longer serving Christ. Haven't you ever heard people say, well, I'm just going to lay down my religion. I'm going to lay it down and get someone told for a few minutes. No, at no point in your Christian walk do you lay down your religion. No point in your Christian walk are you off duty. You're in the morning, you're a Christian. At noonday, you're a Christian. At night, you're a Christian. When you're suffering, you're a Christian. When everything is going great, you're a Christian. When you're being cursed out, you're still a Christian. Even if you start cursing, you're still a Christian. But you need to come to the altar. Know this, he says. A good soldier is aware of danger. A good soldier is always on duty. But also, he says, a good soldier is like an athlete. Paul gives us an illustration here, something to connect us. He said, an athlete, know this, an athlete, church, he says in verse 5, he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He says, a good soldier is like an athlete. Watch this. That soldier is disciplined like an athlete. That athlete trains to stay in shape for competition. If he's going to win anything, he must stay in shape to be able to compete in his athletic events. He's saying Christians, as soldiers, we must stay in good shape through prayer and through the word of God, through constant fellowship. He says we must stay in shape. We're disciplined. Not only is like an athlete disciplined, he's also dedicated. He says the athlete follows the rules, lest he will be, booted out because of not following the rules. He follows the rules of the game so he's not disqualified. The athlete becomes dedicated. He makes sure he doesn't cheat. He follows the rules. He stays in good shape. So when he competes, he's competitive and he has no reason to try to cheat. You and I remember someone who was in athletics who we found him to be a great champion. We thought that he was this superb champion for the simple fact he won many Tour de France's. He won many of those races, and we were, yay, yay, yay. And then we saw that he was battling cancer, and he was still fighting. He was America's champion until in recent years we found out that he was cheating. And he went from a champion to being called a cheater, all because they said he did not follow the rules of the game. He was not being dedicated to the game. He says, like an athlete, you must be disciplined and dedicated. Paul is trying to help us understand the expectations of a good soldier. We're aware of danger. We're always on duty, but we're also like athletes. We are dedicated, and he says that we are disciplined. Paul pushes it a little further to his son in the faith. He's trying to give him a good visual. He says, not only are we like athletes, but he said we're like agriculturists. In other words, we're farmers. It's in the text. Look at the text. He says in verse 6, he says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. He's saying this farmer, he says, we Christians, soldiers, we're like farmers. Here's how we're like farmers. He says, we're like farmers because we're deliberate. And not only are we deliberate, but we're also diligent. He says we're deliberate because a farmer plans his work. I have a farmer who has several fields around my house. He has one to the right of me and one right across the street from me. And every year the farmer comes and he plants seed in that ground. There's some years he does not plant in that ground. Some years he does not plant the same thing every year. He has many fields and he rotates his crop. But the one thing I noticed about him is that as he is, before he gets out to do it, you can see him out surveying the land, looking at things because he's planning his work. He's very deliberate. He already knows how many fields he has. He knows the acres that he has. He knows how many workers it will take to work those fields. He has planned his work. He knows how many tractors he's going to use the field. So he knows the fuel that it will cost, how much fuel he has to have in order to run those tractors. He is totally aware of the cost of seeds that he plans to buy, that he's going to plant. He plans his work because he's diligent. And just like Christian soldiers, maybe this year for 2016, you said, I'm going to be a better Christian this year. I'm going to do things better for Jesus this year. Well, in order to do that, you've got to be diligent and plan to be successful this year. You say, preacher, how do I do that? You plan to attend Bible study. You plan to be in worship every time the doors of the church open. You plan to be in a men's fellowship. You plan to be somewhere where you can constantly feed your soul and you and I can grow. You must be diligent about this work because that's the expectation of a good soldier. He says this, that he is deliberate, but not only is he a farmer deliberate because he plans his work, but he's also diligent because he works his plan. My grandfather used to say, he says, people can plan good under the shade tree, but it's something else when they have to get out into the sun and execute what they've planned. Because it's not easy, church. It's not easy planning. It's not easy doing that work because, church, we have many obstacles in our way. The farmer, he works his plan. He gets out and he knows he has a certain amount of time to get the crop in the ground, to spray the pesticides, to get the crop out of the ground. He's working his plan because he must be diligent. And that's what Paul tells his son in the faith, that as a Christian, we must remain diligent. Many temptations are out here pulling at us, trying to pull us from the left and pull us to the right. But Christ lets us know that if we will stay with him in faith, you and I can go through anything. Greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. Can the church say amen? Amen. He says thirdly to his son in the faith, this won't be easy. He says, we enlist good soldiers. And these are the expectations of good soldiers. He says, this won't be easy. He said, so let me give you an example of a good soldier. Verses 8 through verse 10, we won't read them all, but verses 8 and verse 10, he tells him the example. You need an example of a good soldier. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not always diligent. I don't know about you and your Christian walk, but I'm not always deliberate. Sometimes I fall short. I don't know about you all, but some days I am not as dedicated as I should be, and I'm not as disciplined as I should be. And I say to myself, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. And he reminds me, son, you can do it because others have done it. I've given others the grace and the strength to go through to be the child of God I have already called them to be. He says, we need an example. So Paul says to him in verses 8 and 9, he says, let me show you that I'm the example. Verses 8 and 9, he said to him, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Paul says, I suffer for preaching Christ. Paul says, I'm suffering because I'm proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm suffering. He says that Christians, you, Timothy, us as believers, will have to suffer sometime. He says, I'm an example that I am suffering. He says, but not only do I suffer, but he said, I also endure. It's in verse 10, he says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So he says, I am suffering for preaching Christ, but I also endure my suffering so others may know Jesus Christ. It's not just the fact that Paul is saying, I'm just a preacher. He says, no, I'm holding on and hanging on and pressing on and giving it my best because somebody needs to know about this Jesus that I'm serving. Paul says, I might be in a jail cell right now and my life is going to be taken from me, but someone needs to know that Jesus saves. Do you know anybody that needs to know that Jesus saves? Do you work with someone that needs to know that Jesus saves? Maybe you live with someone that must know that Jesus saves. And Paul says to his son in the faith, this won't be easy because you will suffer, but he says, you and I must endure. We must endure the suffering. We must endure our own sickness and our own pain. We must endure our own rebellious child. Just because your child has gone off shore, so to speak, that doesn't mean you become less faithful. You stay faithful. Just because there's trouble in your house doesn't mean God has left you, he's abandoned you, and you're not a child of God. No, don't even think those thoughts. Just know he is with you. He said he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. You said, "Preacher, I've been praying for my healing and I haven't received it." That doesn't mean God's still not a healer. That doesn't mean he still doesn't love you. Keep on praying and keep on being faithful. God is faithful. And no matter what you're going through, he says you and I can not only suffer, but we can endure what we're suffering. Paul says this is important to his son in the faith because he knows his son will face some hard trials in life. So he says to his son, "I'm the example you need." Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for helping us to see that this won't be easy. Paul doesn't leave Timothy in the faith without some hope. He says, "Son, but here is the earnings of a good soldier." Because this won't be easy. Every one of us needs to know there's some earnings that a good soldier will receive from being faithful. Listen, verses 11 and 13 through 13, Paul says to his son in the faith, "Notice this, son, for every soldier, for every Christian believer who will just be faithful and go through and endure, every soldier has some earnings." What's that, preacher? Well, every soldier gets to retire. Look in verse 11. He says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him." That sounds like retirement to me. If we live with him, he says, if we die with him in Christ Jesus, faithful to him, he says, church, that we will also live with him. He said, if we will lose our life for his sake, we'll find it. He says, if we will live for him, one day when we die, when we retire, we will be with him. The Bible also says that we'll actually rest from our labor. That sounds like retirement to me. You don't have to be in a nursing home when you die. You don't have to end up in Florida when you die. No, we'll be in the presence of the Lord who offers us peace, joy, and rest. He says the earnings of a good soldier, there is retirement. But secondly, he says not only the earnings is retirement, but the earnings are also, watch this, recognition. It's in verses 12 through 13. He says, here's the recognition that we will receive. We'll receive an honorable recognition. Look at verse 12. He says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." Not only are we living with him, but he says we also shall reign with him. If we, as the text says, he says, Jesus said, if we deny him before men, he will deny us before his heavenly Father and the angels, church. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. But church, if we exalt the Savior, if we lift him up, and if we let the world know that he is Lord and Lord of all, he will recognize us. We will not just live with him, but reign with him. He recognizes us as his son, what his son did was faithful to us. He says there's that recognition. It's honorable. But church, there can also be an dishonorable recognition for us who will not remain faithful. He says, well, if we deny him, he also will deny us. It's important as a soldier in the army of the Lord, he says that you and I be faithful because it won't be easy. He gives us that earnings. And for some time, some of us become deserters because of the trials and tribulations in our lives, because of our friends who turn their back on us because we decided to follow Jesus, because of issues in your life, maybe marital issues. Whatever the situation is, I want to encourage you to be faithful to the Lord. It will not be easy, but I want you to know it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The encouragement that Paul gives his son in the faith are two things. He says, here's what you do, son. Since you know it's not going to be easy, he says, here's what you must do. Number one, trust in the grace of the Lord. It's in verse 1. Did you catch it? Verse 1. Look with me. Verse 1. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." He says, you trust in the grace of Christ. Two kinds of grace here you might want to think about. One is that Christ chose you. You didn't choose him. He already chose you. He knew you and his heart was for you. And when he called you, he put his spirit within you. He already knew you were crazy, but he called you anyway. He already knew you had serious issues, but he loved you anyway. He already knew you were mean, but he loved you anyway. He already knew you were a real serious work in progress, but he still reached out to you and I anyway. You trust in that grace. When things aren't going right, when mistakes are made in your life, don't trust in your works. My God, you must trust in his grace. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Not only do you trust in his grace from that aspect, but there's this other grace that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, when Jesus said to him, "For my grace is sufficient for you, that in your weakness his strength is made perfect." When you and I find ourselves, it's the hardest, it's the darkest of night, it's the most troubling time you've ever faced in your life, and you're saying in your prayers, "God, I can't go on any further." He says, "I've given you grace that you might go through. I've given you grace that you might stand in the darkest hour of your life when you find out your spouse has been unfaithful. I've given you grace to hold on and go through. When you found out your child is on drugs and you've been trying to help him day and night and they just don't seem to be responding." He says, "I have given you grace. You're going to stand and make it through. It's not easy, but I want you to know you keep holding on. It will be worth it." He said, "I've given you that grace. Trust in that grace, church." Not only he says, trust in that grace, Timothy, he says, now trust in God's guidance. Verse 7, I'm done. Verse 7, here's what he says to him. "Now consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding and all these things." Consider what I'm saying, Tim. You need to think about it, son. The Lord will give you understanding. The Lord will guide your footsteps. The Lord will help you in the crisis of life. Trust in God's guidance. He will walk with you and talk with you along the way. "Preacher, I don't know what to do." I don't either, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He's right there with you day and night. He sees you in your trouble. He sees you in your successes. He knows you for a father. "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord has pity on us." He knows we're but dust. And so he sits there and he says, now God will give you guidance, just like he gave his son Jesus guidance. He gave his son Jesus guidance as he guided him to the cross to save all humanity. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it, church. As God guided his son Jesus, it wasn't easy for our Savior Jesus to be given over into the hands of wicked men. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy when they took him and they beat him and they slapped him and they tore his beard out and they put a crown of thorns on his head. It was not easy, church. It was not easy when they marched him through the streets of Jerusalem after he had been whipped with the cat of nine tails. It was not easy as they marched him up to Golgotha's hill, to the place of the skull. It was not easy when they laid him down on the cross and they drove nails into his hands and a nail into his feet and they hung him between two thieves. It was not easy, but it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it when they hung him there and he hung his head and died. It was worth it when one early Sunday morning, before Bojangles made the first biscuit, God reached down from heaven and he resurrected his own son, Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy of the pain he had to go through, but it was worth it in the end. And because our Jesus, your Jesus, my Jesus, died on the cross for you and for me, you and I today have everlasting and eternal life. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Yeah. So maybe you're fighting right now. Maybe you're in a battle, spiritual battle. Maybe you're in a battle in your own life, in your own marriage, and you're fighting. And maybe you guys you're at the point of trying to reconcile. And in the morning when you see him, he just makes you sick when you think about what he done. And you don't want to talk to him. You don't want to reconcile. But inside you feel that moving of the Spirit saying you can do it. Listen, it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. Maybe you're having to give tough love to your wayward child, and it is hurting you, breaking you. I want you to know it's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth every push, every penny. Maybe you're having to work a second or third job because things have fallen apart in your life, and you can do some other things to make money. You can compromise. I want you to know, just stay faithful to God. It's not easy, but it will be worth it. Maybe you're taking care of a sick loved one and it's heavy on your heart and it's being heavy on your physical body. Hold on. Keep pressing on. Keep your faith alive in Jesus Christ. It's not easy, but it will be worth it. Don't let the enemy steal your joy while you're at it. Every one of us face tough times in life. Sometimes those times you just can't smile. You just can't smile. You got to force one to come out. One of them ugly ones. It's not from the heart. It's just, And someone asks you the same question over and over again. You got to rehearse the same painful story of what has happened. And it's just, oh, God, when is this going to end? Listen, it's not going to be easy. But here's one thing I want you to know. Trouble doesn't last always. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray it be an encouragement to us all. As maybe we are struggling in our own Christian walk. Maybe, oh God, we've been confessing you because we're newly saved. And we've faced opposition very quickly. And we're wondering, maybe we may not have made the right decision. Help us to know we have. It won't be easy. Being faithful, it just will not be easy. Abiding in your word, it's not easy. Living on the scriptures, Lord, it's not easy. Loving when we want to hate, God, it's not easy. Forgiving when we've been done wrong. We have a right to be mad, God, but saying, God, we will not live like that. God, it will not be easy. But Lord, it is worth it. It's worth it to obey you. It's worth it to stay in fellowship with you. It's worth it to go through. It's worth it to endure as Paul, our example, endured as he suffered. Lord, help us to know that somebody's watching us today. Sick in our body, but because we're being faithful, somebody's watching us and seeing our faithfulness. Help us to hold on, God. Help us to keep pressing on. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, as someone's doubting today, encourage them, Lord, what I pray with this word, that it's not easy, but it will be worth it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.